Pascha Week is a period in the year where the Church relives, hour by hour, all the events of the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in his victorious crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. Upper Room Media presents to you the Pascha Week sermons.
A short meditation entitled An Ocean of Love. And I was really inspired and intrigued this week when I saw this article that is printed in the Ukrainian newspaper, and it's called New Pathway. And a member of our church brought us a few copies, and they have this article printed in it that entitled St. Maurice and St. Verena Coptic Orthodox Church holds successful standing with Ukraine fundraising dinner. And it speaks about some of the details of the night. And it says that the attendees were guided by words from John 3:18, "Let us not love with word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And it speaks about the millions of people who have been displaced in the Ukraine. It quoted the words of Mother Teresa, knowing that our words and our deeds are only but a mere drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less one drop if we don't do our work. It says also that the proceeds from all of the sales of the tickets were donated directly to the Ukrainian humanitarian appeal. And it said about all of the planning for the event, the youth who worked tirelessly to prepare for this event. And then the most remarkable part here in the end of this article, it says that St. Maurice and St. Verena Coptic Orthodox Church community is, they're thanking us for our solidarity during the time of hardship and for each drop that was added to the ocean of love, hope, and support for the people of Ukraine. When I thought and reflected on the message of the Feast of Resurrection this year, this word came to my mind, the ocean of love. And Christ our Lord was truly an ocean of love. There's so many different types of love. At least the word love in English has four Greek words. The first one is storge. And storge is an emotion or a cherished emotion that individuals may have towards one another. When you say, I love my pet, or I love my house, or I love my car. There's another word that is translated love, which is the philia. And philia is the brotherly love. It's camaraderie, when we say that we are buddies towards one another. The third kind of love is eros. And eros is the sensual love that only wants to take to satisfy its own, but never wants to give. And the fourth type of love is the agape love. And agape is an unconditional love that wants to give without receiving in return. It is a sacrificial kind of love that only is interested to see people around us that are happy, and especially during times of hardships. And this is exactly what this beautiful community has done during the fast, during the Great Lent. Everyone is seeing the horrible news and humanitarian crisis coming out of the Ukraine. And we did not just pray for them, even though prayer is integral to support the people and to give them the strength. But we did something which is an unconditional ocean of love. This beautiful community came together and showed the Ukrainian community how much we care for them and how much we love them. We stand with them even during the hardest of times. And I praise God and I thank God, because this is love in action. It's not only theoretical love, but it is a love that shows others how much we care. And even though it is just a drop in the ocean, we have to put that drop in the ocean and do our part. Our Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection looked for the brokenhearted and for those who are going through hardships and pain, those who are marginalized, those who had no one to remember them. First of all, after his resurrection, he looked for Mary. And the word Mary means beloved. Other translation call it myrrh, to something that is bitter. But Mary means beloved, and sometimes we confuse Mary Magdalene with other Marys who were like a sinful woman. No, Mary Magdalene, the scripture doesn't say that she was a sinful woman, but it says that Jesus took out from her 7 demons. But she was brokenhearted, and Christ came to encourage her. And she became the apostle to the apostles. She became a preacher, even though she was a woman who might not have had a very big status in the community. Maybe it should have been Peter, should have been one of the other disciples. But Christ appeared first to Mary, and as we heard in the gospel today, he called her by her name. And I feel that this is so special, because Jesus comes to people and calls them by name. Not only does he care for the multitudes, for the thousands, for the millions, but he has known us each by name. He knows our needs, our wants, our hurts, our pain, our agony, our frustration. Even if we felt marginalized or not accepted at some point, he calls us by name. He has inscribed us on the palm of his hand, and he has come for us to redeem us and to save us. Mary, who had 7 demons, is now fully restored, and Jesus brings her back and shows her the ocean of love. The second person that needed restoration was definitely Peter. And Peter was the main spokesperson for the disciples. He refused to admit the fact that he will deny, or that he will be broken, and he was willing to die first with Christ. But after he denied Jesus, he was broken, and Jesus came to him. And he asked him 3 times. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" And some of the things that we don't know also in the Greek language, in the Greek original language of the New Testament, that our Lord Jesus asked him, "Do you agape me? Do you love me with that unconditional love?" And Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, I filia you." Like, I like you a lot. I want you to imagine if... you know, someone who is just about to propose, and he goes to his fiancée, for example, he says, "I love you." And she says, "Well, I like you too." And then Peter actually, and Jesus says, I agape you. The second time he asked him, and Peter says, "I like you a lot too. You're not that bad. I feel you." The third time Jesus goes down to Peter's level and he says, "Do you feel ye me?" And Peter answers again the third time, "Yes, I feel you." And in the English translation, we always think it's, "Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." But actually, Peter was not there yet. He was still being restored. And Jesus wants to work with us according to our own spiritual level. He understands, he accepts, and he will walk with us until we are fully restored. Until Peter goes in the book of Acts, and he is fully restored, and he gives a sermon, and 3,000 people believe in the name of Christ and are baptized. The third person in the ocean of love is definitely Thomas. And Thomas was missing out. He missed out the apparition of Jesus. And he said, "No way, no way, Jose. I'm not going to believe until I see it for myself. Don't talk to me about this faith thing. Could be fake." And Jesus appeared to him specifically and called him by name. And he says, "Thomas, come here. Put your hands in my wounds. And I don't want you to be unbelieving. I will rely on you in your mission, in your witness, in the way that you will show the world and witness to my resurrection." And this is why our Lord Jesus showed an ocean of love to the brokenhearted, to those who are marginalized. One of the beautiful things in the Ukrainian dinner that we had is a beautiful art form that is called Pisanki. And Pisanki, as you see here on the screen, is a beautiful decoration of the eggs. And the eggs are traditionally, or have become a symbol of the resurrection, because it says that there is a legend all the way back to Mary Magdalene as she went to preach the resurrection of Jesus. And Caesar will not believe in the resurrection. She brought to him a chick, an egg which had a chick inside, and then the chick made his way out of the egg from inside, and it was a symbol of the resurrection, that Jesus rose from inside the tomb and no one raised him. And eggs became a beautiful symbol of the resurrection. In the Ukrainian tradition, this pisanki coloring of the eggs is so special. And actually, in the dinner here that we had in the church, there was a very special artist who decorated and drew this beautiful designs right before our eyes. And it takes a long time, and it takes a lot of patience, you know, by the time you put wax around the egg so it doesn't crack or break, and then you empty it from inside, and you start very carefully adding all the colors and adding all the designs all around that are symmetrical. All the colors have a very specific meaning to renewal, to resurrection, to spring, to the earth, to water, to a new life. It brings back hope. And this beautiful artwork is a way for the Ukrainian community to celebrate Easter. But it wasn't always so easy, as history tells us. In the beginning of the 20th century, when the Ukraine had become a communist country, Christians at that country were not allowed to celebrate Easter. They were not allowed to draw their beautiful imagery on the eggs. They had to do it underground. And they had to keep the tradition, and now that they're allowed to do it in abroad, they are teaching it to their children and to the next generations. And today, I just want to look at this ocean of love that Christ showed at the time of the resurrection, to think about what is our role? What is your role? What is my role? Individually, as a family, and as a community. What is God calling us to do in this particular year? This year is very different than any year that passed, because we're coming with a new spirit, a renewal. And we're thinking about this pandemic as that time of communism, maybe when we weren't able to go to church to celebrate. And I see a new revival, and I see a new passion from every age group, from every individual, from people who are thirsty for God, thirsty to do good. You see, the greatest commandment given by God is divided into two equal parts: love of God and love of neighbor. These two pillars are just as equal to one another. We are to partake of the beautiful gifts that God has given us through the Eucharist, through the scripture reading, and through prayer. But how is this going to be superimposed on our lives? What do we do the minute we walk out of church? We do not leave church. We don't leave the presence of God. We come to the church to be empowered, to be recharged, but then go into the world to start living our faith, to witnessing to our Christ, not so much by being preachy, but by our actions, to show people small things, just like what Mother Teresa said. And I'm just so delighted and happy that the newspaper picked up on that small quote that was mentioned, and it said that this was the ocean of love and of hope and support for the people of Ukraine. My prayer to all of us this evening and throughout the Holy 50 days, that we truly live our faith, that we support one another, that we start to see who is in need for that ocean of love. Maybe there's someone who's been forgotten. Maybe there's someone who's been pushed away from mainstream society for whatever reason. Maybe it's someone who hasn't shown up to church, or someone in our family who's far that needs someone else to reach out to them. Maybe someone who's traditionally been judged before because of their marital status, or because of their socioeconomic status, or their health condition. Christ has shown every single one that ocean of love. Let us pray together today that we could be that ocean of love to each and every person who is in hardship, who is in need, to reflect the image of Christ. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.